Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with the Enquirer photo staff. And we are here for our annual kickoff episode. This year, I'm joined by Bengals tight end Mike Gesicki. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
So you are the player face of the Taste of Bengals event, and we're going to hear from Free Store Food Bank Kurt Reiber and what to expect for the upcoming Taste of Bengals event and some of the things you guys have going on at Free Store Food Bank. But the reason we want to have you on the podcast is just to introduce you to more of our listeners and, you know, have some of them get to know more about you, how you ended up in Cincinnati and your whole life story.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay, so let's go back to high school because that's where your story is interesting to me. You're from New Jersey. You were, in addition to a standout football player, basketball, but where I want to start with is the volleyball part of your athletic career. Okay, so tell me, I believe you like led the state in blocks.
I did. So volleyball was a sport that my sisters grew up playing. And then in New Jersey, it's actually a pretty big boys, you know, high school sport. And so once I got to high school, it was something that, you know, I was interested in. And when I playing basketball growing up, I felt like I was, you know, always, you know, one of my best attributes was jumping and hand-eye coordination and all that kind of stuff. So just kind of took that and, you know, turned into a volleyball career in high school and had a lot of fun with it. You know, we won 2 state championships my junior and senior year. And then, I mean, I actually got recruited to play volleyball at Penn State before to play football at Penn State. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I was just like, I just kind of play volleyball because I think it's fun. I wasn't really thinking that it was going to be a future thing, but it was a cool experience and a lot of fun for those 4 years.
I cannot relate to being so good at multiple sports that you get offers. So had you always knew when you were playing high school football that that was the sport that you wanted to play in college?
No. I started playing – basketball is like my true love when it came to sports. So started playing basketball when I was – before I was even in, like, you know, kindergarten. Like, and that was my favorite sport growing up. And then when I got to high school, I started playing football when I was in 7th grade. I played quarterback for 3 years. And – that took me to my sophomore year in high school, and then there was a returning starter at quarterback, so I wasn't going to start at quarterback, and I was like, you know what, I think I just want to, like, focus on basketball, talk to my coach maybe about, like, you know, shutting it down and just focus on basketball and being done with football. And he was like, well, how about you try playing receiver? You know, we were going to a 7-on-7. He's like, just try, you know, running some routes, catching some balls, things like that, and see how you like it. And I started doing that, and I was like, wow, I really like this. So I put the quarterback stuff off to the side and started playing receiver. And, thankfully I did, cause now I'm here.
Okay. So, I mean, we'll get to it later, but you called yourself a receiver. So is that what you think you are?
Absolutely. So I was a receiver in high school, went to college, and then made the transition to tight end. I didn't even know how to get into a 3-point stance. I was like, you know, really starting from scratch. And then, you know, as my career in the NFL has kind of developed, I've definitely reverted back to more of a receiver type role, just based on some of the matchups I get and, you know, the way that I'm utilized. But I think being able to kind of do both is something that kind of can bring a little bit more to the offense and something that I enjoy.
I've always wanted to ask you that because whenever someone's talking about you in the Bengals offense, they say tight end, but everyone that, you know, watches you on a regular basis knows that you're primarily used as a pass catcher.
Yep, absolutely.
So I've always wondered, like, does it bother you when people talk about you more as a receiver? Like, do you take offense to that or are you cool with that?
No, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. You know, I love, you know, getting out in the pass game and running routes and some of the matchups that I get and the way that, you know, Zach and, you know, Coach Pitch, you know, the stuff that they put together and the way that they utilize me. So I love it. It's kind of been, you know, the story of my career. And I think that, you know, a lot of guys around the league would love to, you know, play the role that I play. So I'm happy about it.
So tell us about your journey to Penn State. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll get to you being a second round pick, but was that your dream school growing up in Jersey?
No, I didn't really, I really didn't envision like a life of football until about my junior year of high school. It was always basketball and trying to get recruited to play basketball. And I had like some offers to from like smaller like Patriot League schools like Colgate and Bucknell and schools like that. And I thought about really, you know, like I said, you know, stop playing football and focus on basketball and just being year round and, you know, playing AAU because that's kind of how you get recruited. But then I got like an offer from Rutgers to play football. And then I got an offer from like Boston College. And then it just kind of like took off. And I was like, all right, well, I mean, I'm not getting this kind of attention in basketball, so maybe I have a future in this. And then, you know, it really picked up. And my top two was Penn State and Ohio State. Yeah, I took a visit out to Columbus. I was out there, had a, you know, great experience, ton of fun. And then took a visit to Penn State when they played Michigan and won in four overtimes and won the whiteout game. And I was there and I was like, I can't envision going anywhere else other than here. And at that point, I committed to Bill O'Brien, who was the head coach there. And yeah, yep. And then he actually left, went to Houston. James Franklin came in. He offered me at Vanderbilt, so I had already known Coach Franklin. So it was kind of an easy thing to stay committed. And then so my first year was James Franklin's first year and just kind of wrote it out from there.
Did you have the best college time there? I mean, I've heard the whiteout is amazing.
Unbelievable. I wouldn't trade those 4 years for anything. It was really like I was thinking about I had the opportunity to declare after my third year, and it's not like I was going to be a second-round pick or anything like that after my third year, but there was definitely – I would have gotten drafted. I don't know how high or how low, whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like this college thing. Like, I was having a lot of fun in football, outside of football.
They call it Happy Valley
exactly,
for a reason.
Exactly. So I was like, I can get another year in state college and maybe get drafted even higher. And, you know, at that point, you know, we had just won the Big Ten championship. We were bringing back a bunch of guys and, you know, myself and Saquon and Trace McSorley. I just, you know, Chris Godwin had just left. Like we had some solid players. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to run it back. And, went back there and had a good senior year. So
I forgot you played with Saquon. How many years?
So I played 3 years with him. He left early, but I played 4 years. So we left at the same time, but I got there a year before him.
Was it just so cool for you to see him have the year that he did last year, knowing you guys go back from when he was a standout at Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, Saquon, like, you can't say enough good things about him as a person and as a player. So it was cool to kind of see him get in the system that he's in now and getting the opportunity that he has now, because it was like, all right, yeah, like, this is what he was doing at Penn State. And really what he was doing with the Giants, it was just a different opportunity and, you know, a different, you know, scheme and some different linemen in front of him that were creating it and opportunities on the outside that kind of opened it up for him. So it was cool to kind of see all that kind of come to fruition for him.
So the next part of your story would have been the draft weekend. You had said that you didn't know when you were going to get picked. Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea that you were going to go in the second round? Did you think you were going to be a first rounder? What was that process like for you?
So my buddy that I played tight end with in Miami, Durham Smythe, he's with the Bears now. He always jokes around because he's like, every second round pick in the world is always like, oh, I thought it was going to be a first round pick. And I did. Like, there was one team that I thought could have drafted me. I thought that potentially the New Orleans Saints were going to draft me. That's when, you know, Dan Campbell was a tight end coach there. Sean Payton was there. And I was like, all right, yeah, like, this could be, you know, a cool fit. And I'm sitting there on draft night thinking, like, all right, I might go to the Saints. And then they traded up and drafted Marcus Davenport, the defensive end. And I was like, all right, we might as well turn the TV off because, like, I'm not going anywhere else tonight. Hayden Hurst was the first tight end picked in that draft. He went to Baltimore in the first round. And then I was the second tight end, went day two to Miami. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
So Miami, how many years were you there?
I was there for 5 years.
Five. Okay. Yeah. How was that experience for you? Obviously, like, I know right now is where you feel like your career is completely flourished, but what were the first couple of years like for you as you learned what it was like to be an NFL tight end?
I loved it. I loved playing in Miami. I loved living in, I lived in Fort Lauderdale. I loved being in South Florida. The people there were great. Everybody in that organization, like, staff-wise, in terms of, like, athletic trainers and security and, you know, the people in the cafeteria, like, top to bottom was awesome. But there was just so much turnover. I played there for 5 years. I had three different head coaches, five different offense coordinators. I had probably eight or nine different starting quarterbacks over that time. So it was just like so much turnover. And I felt like I'd finally kind of like stuck and felt like I had, you know, I was going to be one of the building blocks there. I played out my rookie contract, and my last year there, I had 73 catches, almost like 800 yards. Like I felt like, you know, I like left my mark there, and I was going to be, you know, one of the pieces there that stayed there for a while. They fired Brian Flores. He left. And then I got franchise tagged with a new head coach, and it just didn't really work out the way that I envisioned it. But it was just, that's just kind of how the league goes. So, new head coach came in, there was a different scheme. And I guess I didn't fit it the way that they envisioned. And then, that was it after 5 years in Miami and just trying to find the next spot for my career.
That took you to New England.
Yep.
You were there for 1 year, correct?
Yeah, I was there for, I was there for 1 year. We weren't very good, and that's probably generous saying that. Like, I think we won four games maybe. But I learned a lot about football that year. Like, you know, playing for Bill Belichick, I felt like I had played for him partially because I played for Flo in Miami, who, yeah, you know, learned under Bill for all those years up in New England. But then, you know, being in it, I learned a lot about discipline, learned a lot about, you know, situational football and the ins and outs of the game and all that kind of stuff. So I don't look back at that and, you know, regret going there. There was different options during free agency, and I felt like that was going to be one that fit, but it didn't work out the way that I wanted it. And then when that season ended, I told myself, I don't care what offers out there, I am getting to Cincinnati, Ohio, somehow, some way. Yeah.
Really? Well, yeah. So that was one of the questions that we'll get to. Some fans submitted them on social media. What about Cincinnati, of all of the teams in the league at that point, had your attention? Because, yeah, that had been 2 years of the Bengals being, right, super successful, but, mm-hmm, you know, there's the Chiefs and, yeah, other teams. Like, what about the Bengals?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
I think it was just the system. And obviously the quarterback play. So at that point, Joe was recovering from, mm-hmm, the wrist stuff. And it was, I felt like there was going to be somewhat of an opening. I know Tanner was here the year before, and they kind of had Tanner and Irv and
Hayden the year before.
Mm-hmm. So there was some guys that I didn't know if they're going to bring back Tanner. I didn't know if they're going to bring back Irv. So I was like, okay, I think there's an opening. They ended up bringing myself and Tanner in. And it was just something that I had just looked at that role, and thought to myself that it was kind of exactly the role that I had been looking for. Similar, not exactly the same, but to be a factor in the passing game like I was over my years in Miami, and to be able to play with, in my opinion, you know, the best quarterback in football, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good spot for me. So I didn't care. I told my agent, I was like, I don't care how much money it is. I don't care what the language in the contract says. Like, we need to find a way to get to Cincinnati. So I made sure of it that I think, you know, I think even at the point of free agency, I made it so clear when it was, you know, legal for my agent to talk to them. Like, I think they knew, like, listen, we could offer this guy like nothing, like, and he's coming. So it got to that point, and I was like, all right, I know that this year isn't about, you know, an ego thing of making money and this big deal, this, that, the other thing. It's more of an investment and getting an opportunity to play in the system.
I didn't know that. That obviously, I knew you were excited with the chance to play with Burrow, but I didn't know that was your team number one choice. And I think it's really cool that you say that you could have probably made more money somewhere else, but then you ended up getting rewarded
absolutely.
Your last year. You just signed a 3-year contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was that process like for you? Was it just, I would imagine, given how much you had moved around, mm-hmm, I mean, we're not even talking about just like football, but personally, like, you were living in Miami, then you were moving to New England, and now you're here. Like, when you got to sign a multi-year contract, was that just like such a sigh of relief for you and your wife?
Yeah, it was. You know, my wife moved down to Fort Lauderdale in my fourth year when I was with the Dolphins. So she lived there year four and year five. And then we packed up. I knew I wasn't going back there the day the season ended. So I was like, all right, it's time to pack up here. Packed up and then signed a 1 year in New England. And so I was like, hey, Hallie, all right, we're just putting the stuff in the boxes and we're signing a 6 month lease and we'll see how it goes after that. After that year ended, I was kind of like the same boat. I was like, probably not going to end up back in New England. And then moved to Cincinnati, signed a 6 month lease. And I was like, I don't know how it's going to go, but like, you know, so there is like a lot that goes unnoticed from the outside looking in, whether it's like, just like life in its, in itself, like outside of football. So it's a lot on, you know, my wife and like, it's not really as much on me. Mm-hmm. I just kind of look at it as like, all right, it is what it is. But, you know, so there was some stuff outside of football that was, you know, factored into all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, you're in it and, you know, things start clicking and you start having the season that, and the opportunity that I was getting last year. And it just makes it worth it. So, and then to obviously, you know, have the opportunity to sign a, you know, 3 year contract and be back in Cincinnati, it's where I wanted to be. It's, so it's kind of cool to kind of see it all come to fruition. I'm super grateful for it.
One of my favorite stories in the last couple of years is you talking about how when Joe Burrow went on First Take and was asked about re-signing T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Trey, and he said Mike G. Yeah. And you said you were just sitting on the couch and you said to your wife, like, did he say my name?
That's exact. I was like, it was like in the off season, like not really much to do in the morning, Super Bowl week. And I had woke up, turned on ESPN and saw that, like, you know, on the bottom ticker, it said like Joe Burrow at 10:30 a.m. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll watch it. And I'm like sitting on the couch and he's like, yeah, Jamar, T, Mike G. I was like, I look at Hallie and I'm like, talking about me? Like, what the heck? So it was cool. And I'm super grateful for him and, you know, all the things that, you know, he said and done for me and all that kind of stuff. So it was funny.
Did you, when you signed your contract, did you go up to him and say, hey, thanks, man? I think that really helped get the deal done.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I texted him immediately when, you know, we had kind of come to an agreement, and, you know, just said thank you for everything and, just said, let's ball. So now here we are, back at it again. So year two in Cincinnati, I'm happy to be here.
There are so many things I want to talk to you about, but I know we have a lot to get through and you got to get out of here. Let's go to camp now.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to practice for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But before you got hurt, mm-hmm. Every year it feels like we're talking about at this point with the player during training camp, getting the season off to a faster start, playing with Joe, him finally being healthy. How do you feel like the team looks and what do you think the expectations for you guys as an offense should be this year?
Yeah, you can sense the urgency. And I like that. I think it's good. Whether it's from the offensive side, defensive side, special teams, whatever it may be. And I think it's going to be about playing, you know, complementary football whenever it's, you know, time to kick that ball off in Cleveland, you know, from all three phases. So it's been a really good camp. Like you said, you know, I've been out the last week, but, you know, just watching from afar and, you know, being in the meetings and all that kind of stuff, everything's been great. Obviously, you know, the offensive side is, you know, what I'm paying attention to the most, and it's been awesome. It seems like just kind of taking it to another level, which after last year, didn't even know if it was possible or not, but you know, some of the things that Jamar's doing out there is incredible. Some of the ball placement and anticipation from Joe. You know, there's a lot of playmakers in our offense. You know, I could go on and on about, you know, Chase Brown out of the backfield and Andre in the slot and, you know, his versatility. You know, obviously T, and I mean, he made a catch the other day, mm-hmm. on a deep ball. It was unbelievable. Yeah. So there's so many, you know, playmakers, and then, you know, the offensive line, you know, with our new, you know, offensive line coach, yeah. You know, just buying into, you know, the way that he's preaching and coaching and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a great start, and you know, we're about halfway through camp right now, and I think it's been good.
The vibes just seem really good. I mean, yeah. I've this is my fifth training camp covering of the Bengals, and unfortunately, most of them, Burrow's been hurt. Yeah. So that's been a huge part of, you know, why the slower starts have happened on offense specifically. But it just feels like from top to bottom, the vibes are just really good in the locker room, and you see it on the field. So it feels like this is setting up to be like, could be a great year for you guys.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think there is, you know, good vibes. Everybody's excited. A lot of optimism. We know the talent that we have in the locker room. But that kind of stuff only takes you so far, because once that ball's kicked off, nobody cares about the talent or the, you know, the potential or the expectations or, you know, who should win this division or that conference or get, you know, it's time to play football. So I think everybody understands that. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to, you know, we hear, you know, the discussions and the, you know, how we're being talked about in terms of starting fast, and, you know, the history is what it is. And I think everybody understands that. And we've had a good training camp to start fast.
I have two questions before I want to get to some of the fan submitted questions. Not a lot of people can say they're on the other end of catching passes from Joe Burrow. So I want to go back to last year. Is there a favorite pass he made to you that either you caught it and was like, that was a ridiculous throw, or you went back and watched all of your catches after the season and looking back, whether it be like the level of difficulty of both the catch and the throw, was there one that really stood out to you?
So two things here. One, to pick one would be very difficult for me personally. So just like the way he throws the ball is very catchable, very accurate. And the thing that's cool about playing with Joe is, like, you know, even if my route says to run all the way over here and catch the ball on the outside edge of the numbers and things like that, like, and I'm just open in the middle of the field and I just stop and he knows it, I know it, and all right, yeah, cool. So it's cool that, like, I'm playing with a quarterback of that level of intelligence. I think the coolest throw that I saw him make last year was against Baltimore at home at the end of the half. Before he threw the deep one to Jamar, he threw an in cut to Jamar where I had kind of like chipped the end and got to the flat. And I swear to God, he was looking me dead in my eyes and then went like that and threw it back to Jamar. I thought the ball was coming to me and I was just like, I have my hands ready. And he just went and threw it back and hit Jamar, you know, right in the face mask for probably a 15, 20 yard gain. And I mean, I just pointed at him. I was like, dude, that was sick. And so it's things like that, that, you know, like you're never going to see that play on ESPN. Like, nobody's going to talk about that one. But that was one for me that I was like, that was like, I mean, if he had me fooled, like, I can only imagine what the defense was thinking. And it was super cool.
I have to go back and look at that now. Yep. I'm curious. The other person I wanted to ask you about, you brought him up, but you played with Tyreek Hill in Miami.
Sure did.
Don't know who some of the other really good receivers you would have played with.
Tyreek and Jalen Waddle.
Okay.
Yep.
New England was, there probably wasn't like a star receiver that is on the level of what I'm about to ask you. You obviously watch the NFL. You're a fan of the game. You heard about how good he is. When you got here and you started practicing with him and then playing with him, like, at what point did you realize he's not just good, like, this is a generational talent?
Yeah, so I had heard the stories, obviously, and I'd seen the highlights. And then I didn't obviously see him practice last year during all the, you know, contract stuff. So he was not practicing during training camp. And then he started practicing again week one and getting ready for that game. And like you said, you know, I played with Tyreek Hill. I played with Jalen Waddle. Unbelievable receivers. I think they're different in different ways. But the way that Jamar, you know, impacted the game last year, he's just so he I don't think he gets enough credit for his intelligence. Yeah. You know, I think obviously he's physically gifted. Unbelievable job in tracking the football, catching the ball, making tough catches, getting open no matter what the coverage is. The chemistry him and Joe have is unmatched. So, but the thing that we do with Jamar is we move him around everywhere. And, you know, we have, it seems like 900 different personnel just to move around Jamar and just run our normal stuff. But, you know, he's in different spots. So it makes it challenging on the defense, but it makes it challenging on Jamar too, because he has to know everything. So I think that's something that he doesn't get enough credit for. And I think should get a lot of credit for, because the way that he's able to, you know, just understand and master the entire playbook, But that's what it allows you to do. And then he goes out and gets the Triple Crown.
There's just some times in practice where I'm like, that just looks too easy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
I feel like he probably does that on a daily basis with you.
It was kind of like the, I think it was like day two or three training camp when he caught the one at the back of the end zone in the back corner, like with one hand. And it's like it was great coverage. Like it was unbelievable coverage. It was a even better ball and an unbelievable catch. So, It's cool to be around that. Like, I mean, you are around, you know, greatness. So it's cool because it makes everybody else elevate their levels, from the quarterback and that receiver. I mean, it makes everybody else elevate because you don't want to be the guy that's, you know, bringing it back down. You want to, you know, try to, you know, get to that level.
And I think one of the people ask me all the time, like, what's Joe Burrow like? What's Ja'Marr Chase like when they ask, you know, what to do? I think the coolest part is even T2, like, they're not divas. Like, you know how there can be that reputation sometimes with a star receiver.
No doubt. Yeah.
They are just such nice people that you feel like you can talk to them, see them in the locker room. They just seem like they're always having fun with you guys. And that's what I think makes what you guys are doing in the locker room this year so special, because you don't have to worry about his contract or anything. It just seems like everybody can just be themselves.
No, yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that, you know, they have the, I guess, ability to be the divas and all that, but they're not in any way, shape, or form, and they're super selfless. And, you know, Ja'Marr does so much out there on the field. I mean, I had a touchdown last year, and nobody covered me because Ja'Marr is Ja'Marr. Like, I literally scored a 40-something yard touchdown because everybody covered Ja'Marr. So, like, he is super selfless, and obviously, you know, he gets a ton of opportunity, but he deserves it. And same thing with T when he's out there. And so it just you could go on and on about, you know, the character and, you know, how great those guys are.
Well, I'm going to pull up some of the fan questions, and we'll do it like rapid fire style so we can move you along here. What was the game that you caught that touchdown that nobody covered you?
The Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go back and look
there you go.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. First question submitted was, how long did you actually want to be a Bengal before it happened? Which we answered that.
Yeah. The day the 2023 season ended, I was like, all right, time to go Cincinnati.
I thought this was a really interesting question. How important is cross training as a young athlete in today's NFL, i.e. basketball, baseball?
Yeah.
How has basketball shaped your abilities on the NFL field?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage, you know, younger athletes to play as many sports as possible. I think that that's what helped me develop, you know, my athleticism at, you know, I'm 6'6", you know, 245 pounds. And I feel like I'm able to move and be fluid and, you know, do the things that I need to do at my size. And I think it's because I played, you know, I played basketball, I played volleyball, I played football, you know, just different things of, you know, just being an overall athlete.
Do you view yourself more as a tight end or a wide receiver?
I got franchise tagged my fifth year in Miami as a tight end. And if I got franchise tagged as a receiver, I would have made way more money. So, so tight end it is.
Okay. Should Penn State have edged out Texas for the preseason AP poll number one spot?
Have no idea. But I would just say it doesn't really matter all that much right now. And the way the playoff format is now, you just got to get in there and then it's anybody's game. So talk to me again in, you know, January when all that kind of stuff comes out.
You have a new teammate who's going to be in your position room. A question is about, what do you think about Noah Fant and how do you see him being used with what you do in the offense as well?
Yeah, Noah's another great talent and was able to get him here. And I think it's going to be – I think his role is just going to continue to develop. You know, I think, you know, right now still trying to figure out the offense and learn all the system and all that kind of stuff. But he's a great talent, really athletic, you know, good player in the run game as well. So I think he's going to be able to do a lot for us.
This question is submitted by me.
Okay.
How is your gritty looking for this year? You went viral
last year. Yeah, I sure did. I have not practiced at all. I don't know if that tells you anything. I think it's still just going to be just trending for being bad and funny. And that's kind of my goal too. Like if I started doing it like Ja'Marr, people would be like, what the heck? That's not that funny anymore. I think I just got to do it the way I've been doing it.
Okay. Well, that's a hashtag stay tuned for us.
Correct.
Before we get you out of here, I'm going to bring Kurt on to talk about some of the things that's going on at Free Store Food Bank and the Taste of Bengals event.
Yeah, first of all, Mike, I want to thank you for coming out tonight, but also thank you for serving as our player host for the Taste of the Bengals event. It's one of our major fundraisers, and it really couples the love that this city has for the Bengals and some great food, because we'll have 50 of the area's best restaurants and folks who love the Free Store Food Bank. So, you know, you stepping up, you come within a long line of folks that have been our player hosts. And I can't thank you enough for that tremendous support of the work that we do. As I shared with you earlier, last year we distributed a little over 47 million meals to families right here in our tri-state area. So the funds that we raise in our Rubber Duck Regatta and our Taste of the Bengals events are really allowing us to feed those kids, feed those families. There are 275,000 of our neighbors that are food insecure. 82,000 of those are kids. So right now kids are starting to go back to school. You know, you talk about your high school age. Mm-hmm. There's 8 out of 10 kids that are eligible for free and reduced lunches in the tri-state area. And, you know, the work that we do through our 600-plus pantries in this 20-county service area really goes a long ways towards not only, you know, feeding the line, but also trying to end the line through our workforce training programs like Cincinnati Cooks and our Lift the Tri-State program, as well as our wraparound supportive services that we provide at our Customer Connection Center. So everything goes hand in hand. It's like, you know, the team here at Free Store is much like the Bengals organization. Everybody has a certain role that they have to play, but more importantly, they have a passion similar to what you're showing for your, you know, there are people that have come to the Free Store and said, I knew I had to be at the Free Store because of the work that they were doing. So just can't thank you enough for the tremendous support that you've provided, but also that the Brown and Blackburn families are providing to the Free Store over the years. You know, we do our holiday food distribution out at Fifth Third Bank's center there, and the Bengals players come out. You know, it's just been a tremendous support that you guys have all provided, really stepping up, making a difference, and that's really important.
Are there still tickets available for the Taste of Bengals?
The VIP tickets have sold out because those are the hot commodities. But there are still tickets available for folks. And, you know, if we get some additional sponsors that come in as well, we'd be able to work out something for them as well. But, you know, we're hoping to, you know, sell out the Taste of the Bengals or, you know, operation. But it's really a way for us to raise awareness, mm-hmm. and raise resources for the Free Store Food Bank. You know, our little Rubber Duck Regatta is happening shortly thereafter. So the Taste of the Bengals happens on August 27th. And then the ducks will drop virtually this year on August 31st. But our little rubber ducks allow us to raise money to help support our Kids Cafe programs, our Power Pack program, as well as our school pantry programs. Believe it or not, we have over 60 school-based pantries that we support. 6 are on college campuses, believe it or not, where we're, you know, trying to meet the needs of those college students that are trying to make it go. And many times our first generation folks in the you know, college setting.
Where can people, if they want to go to the Taste of Bengals, get their tickets?
They go to freestorefoodbank.org, or they can go to tasteofbengals.org. And either way, they'll get their tickets. We'll hopefully have a sellout crowd there. But what's nice about it is that we have some silent auction items that are out there available for the fans that come in. They have the opportunity to rub elbows with, you know, I always joke that they can, you know, go over and give, you know, some pointers to Zach Taylor as far as some, you know, plays to run. Maybe they'll get some. But the nice part about it is all the players are there representing the organization, but also giving back to this community. And it's a great way for folks to engage with the Free Store and, you know, and really make a difference.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited to, you know, when they approached me about, you know, being the player this year for it, I thought it was, you know, a great opportunity for me to, you know, just interact with, you know, this community and with Cincinnati as a whole. And then as I learned, you know, more about the event, it's very exciting. And, you know, what you guys do is, you know, one, super selfless, and two, you know, extremely helpful. So I think it's a credit to you and your team and everybody that is there every year for the last, you know, 20 plus years, you know, putting that event together. So it's something that's, you know, kind of makes Cincinnati, you know, what Cincinnati is, and it's a great city, and it's filled with great people. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and I think one thing I should point out too is that we punch above our weight class as far as the Taste of the Bengals organization. So the Taste of the Bengals event is one of the top three taste events in the entire NFL. So we're looking for, trying to shoot for number one like you guys. But I think the bottom line is that, the families that come out here really make an impact for the families we're serving, and it's neighbors helping neighbors.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for everyone who's tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. You were great.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.